pay program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. This is a different type of a show today. We're going to actually turn the tables on me when we have Dr. Peter Rouse. How you doing, Peter?
I'm good. Good. How are you doing?
Good, good. You're actually going to interview me. This is, you know, I've always said that this radio show is organic. We listen to the listeners. They want shows. I try to produce them. And it's been more than a few times that people have asked me on Facebook what it is that I do, how do I eat, how do I train, and so on. And I really don't talk much about myself because it should be understood that I am no expert in anything. And I'm like everybody else out there, just a disciple trying to learn and get along. But Stefan Stasny had posted just recently this question yet again, and I thought, well, let's do the show. I offered Stefan to come on the show, but he never replied. And so Dr. Peter Rouse was kind enough to make the time in his day this morning to do this interview. And I really feel that you're better suited to do the interview, Peter, because I think that you'll have better introspective questions to ask me that maybe would elucidate the way I train, the way I eat, and the things I believe in. So this is going to work out great.
Well, I hope so. I'm actually going to pull you apart and see what's really going on.
I'm afraid. I may end up losing listeners today, but let's go. Let's do it. So anyway, where do you want to start, Peter? I'm turning the interview over to you right now.
Okay. Let's start with your main goal. I guess that's kind of what's going to drive you towards your the way that you do train and eat and everything. So what is your main goal at the moment?
Well, you know, that has changed recently, and it's interesting that you asked that question because that really has taken a lot of time for me to think about over the past couple years. When I first started training a decade ago, my main goal was to get strong, and I focused on powerlifting and strongman-type stuff. And then I thought maybe I should try to focus more on bodybuilding. I got lean, and I'm still very lean, but now my goals have really changed. I'll be 53 in June, and I think that I really do try to balance what I preach, and that is that strength must be tempered with decisions that enhance health. So strength at all costs is no longer my mantra. Now it's I want to balance my strength with increasing my health quotient, but strength clearly has always been my goal. I believe and will always believe that A, I can get stronger every year as I age, which in my humble opinion, I'm pushing back the clock if I can do that, number one. And number two, that I'd much rather be strong than look strong. So those are my goals, really, to continue to get stronger with each passing year, however incremental that may be.
So how are you finding it now that as you get older, you know, a lot of people say, you know, the strength drops. So yeah, how are you finding maintaining your strength and increasing your strength as you get older?
When I can train regularly, my strength continues to increase. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had numerous accidents, injuries the past 2 years. My sciatic nerve in my right leg literally made my right foot. I had drop foot, as you know, for quite a long time, which is now completely gone. I had some hip issues, and then I fell down a flight of stairs and injured both the glute and hamstring of my left leg, which is just now, it's still not 100%. My hamstring and glute, probably 80 to 90%, still deal with some of the pain, but I do a lot of stretching and foam rolling now to try to help with that, and it is getting better. The short answer is when I can train consistently, I continue to get stronger. For the past 3 weeks, I have been doing whole body routines. I go in the morning and I prioritize a different body part. I start off with a different body part each week. And I did that for 3 weeks in preparation for what I'm doing now, which is now I'm doing split training. Yesterday I trained chest and shoulders. Those are my lagging body parts, so I start the week off with chest and shoulders. Today I train back. Tomorrow I'll train legs. The following day I'll train arms, and then I'll take off. But I consistently am getting stronger in each of the movements, but I'm not back to where I was yet 2 years ago before I started injuring myself and taking time off.
So what do you think initiated all the injuries?
Oh,
2 years
my
ago.
Goodness. Well, obviously, falling down the stairs was stupidity combined with too much champagne, number one. So that one, I can't really say it was poor form. The sciatic nerve injury, I am convinced, and I will prove this in an upcoming show, because we're doing a show about this, was a result of me carrying my cell phone in my back right pocket for the first time in my life. And after doing that for a few months, I developed this problem. I have not really injured myself as a result of improper training, if that's what you're asking. I haven't. My injuries have happened outside the gym.
Mm-hmm. So cell phone one, I guess that's, you know, we actually have mentioned it before, and it's probably a good hint for a lot of listeners, you know, not to avoid using their cell phones in their pockets or having their cell phones in their pockets, you know, when they're wandering around. You know, use your Bluetooth and have it left somewhere rather than carrying it in your pocket.
You know, a lot of people laugh at me about cell phones. I do not carry a cell phone. I keep it in my briefcase. I leave it in my car. It's on my desk. I never put it in my pocket. Only in the most extreme conditions do I put it in my pocket, because my hands are full and I have to put it in my pocket. I know unabashedly that years from now, people will see that those of us who recognize that carrying your own personal radiation device, which that's basically what it is not a smart thing at all. And years from now, people will recognize this just the way they recognize that inhaling tobacco wasn't a good idea. But it takes a lot of people, you know, they don't want to give up the comfort, the creature comforts quite often. And so those people will suffer. But I mean, there's so much good evidence out there, research studies that show that the radiation from cell phones causes oxidative stress, reduces sperm motility, increases osteoporosis, damages tissue. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. You have to really be ignorant or willing to ignore the facts in return for the comfort of carrying a cell phone. I'm not willing to do that.
Not to mention, you know, musculoskeletal injuries.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, that's another good reason why to avoid it, if you want to keep consistency in the gym. And that consistency, I think, is, you know, as you say, is really important. That's where you see the most results. You know, people can be have everything else lined up, but unless they're consistent, they aren't going to achieve what they're looking for, because the fact that their consistency is the icing on the cake.
That's exactly right. Mike Boyle did a show one time with me, and we talked about how it's not really prevention is not sexy. But prevention actually adds to progress, because if you can train consistently year after year, you will make consistent gains. It's the net reduction in effect that occurs when you have to take off periodically. So it's a two-step forward, one-step back scenario. But being able to take every step forward requires preventative measures like stretching or massage, meditation, or avoiding things like carrying cell phones and stupid things like falling downstairs. All of those things add to progress, even though they don't occur necessarily in the gym.
That's right. I mean, it's probably the most important factor, that consistency and the injury prevention stuff. But I guess in today's society, we don't have the patience to wait for what we want, everything today. So, you know, every time you go in the gym, you expect to achieve what you want that day rather than looking at the bigger picture. And I guess injury prevention doesn't come into that into account when they're doing that.
No, it's not sexy. It's not squatting 500 pounds. But you know
yeah,
what?
Exactly.
It allows you to squat 500 pounds someday if you stay in the gym with greater frequency. And I'm seeing that now. I mean, I can see my body changing yet again, coming back. Yeah, I'm getting thicker. I'm getting stronger. But this time I'm going to be consistent. I'm doing things differently now than I've ever done before. I'm training for the first time in my life, truly, instinctively.
Well, actually, let's get into that then. Let's get into the training and what you're doing. You talked about your split just a moment ago. Do you want to break it down a little bit? Let's say, for example, yesterday, so it's fresh in your memory. What's the first thing you do when you walk in the gym? Well, actually, before that, what do you do prep before you go to the gym? Do you do anything specific for prep?
Yes, I do. Let's do this. Let's take our first commercial break, okay? Mm-hmm. When we come back, I will explain what happens from the moment I wake up to the moment and I love to train in the morning, by the way, because I feel like then I can eat all day for muscle growth.
So sounds good.
I'm being interviewed today by Dr. Peter Rouse. He is going to spare no question, and I will answer every question directly. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at PrimordialPerformance.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio, where the guest today is me, and the host today is Dr. Peter Rouse. Okay. So when we went into the break, you asked me a question, you know. And so this is a snapshot of how my day. First of all, I must preface with what I'm about to say with the fact that I'm a firm believer in the lowest effective dose in life in general. So this goes with training as well. I am not the kind of person who overdoes it right from the get-go, because I've learned over the years that that gets you nowhere. The body responds to whatever you give it. So give it the smallest amount that you can so you can keep progressing. That's my theory. That's what works for me, not necessarily for everybody else. So with that being said, I am doing no cardio right now. since I am just finally getting back at it. I trained for 3 weeks doing whole body routines, and I did no pre-workout cardio as well, not even my normal 10 minutes of warm-up cardio. I actually used the workout itself as my cardio. So keep that in mind as I start to discuss the way I train. So here's what happens. I wake up in the morning, and the first thing I do is come downstairs and inject 250 to 375 micrograms of GHRP6. First thing, that's what I do. Immediately followed by 10 grams of BCAAs and a vitamin C cap, and drink some water, and that's the first thing that hits my stomach. After
how much vitamin C are you taking in there?
One gram. Okay. 1 gram. Now, I don't know if that's too much, too little. There's some people who tell me that's too much to take in a single serving, but that's what I've always taken, and I continue to take that. That's the first thing I do. Then I will, if I am going to do any cardio, I will do cardio immediately after that. But right now I'm not doing any cardio in the morning. After that, I generally get on the computer and do some work, answer emails, prepare for shows and all that sort of stuff. And then, take a shower, come downstairs from my shower. Now this is now pre-workout. I'm getting ready to go to the gym, pack my bag, get all my gear together. I take 150 micrograms of IGF-1 long R3 simultaneously with 60 to 70 grams of whey protein, 10 grams of BCAAs, 5 grams of creatine, and usually 16 ounces of raw unpasteurized milk. Unless I'm out of milk, then I use water. And I take that immediately along with my IGF-1 long R3 injection, of which that puts me at the gym about 45 or 40 or so minutes later. By the time I get out of the house, drive to the gym, pack, put my stuff away in my locker, and get out.
Now, how do you find the difference anyway on the days that you take the milk and the days you don't? Do you find there's an energy difference?
Yes, I definitely have more energy. There's no doubt about it. If I have a little bit of carbohydrates in my bloodstream, especially, this is especially true with the IGF-1. I made the terrible mistake the first day that I started using IGF-1 long R3, which was a few weeks ago, of not eating anything at all, going to the gym on a fasted stomach because I was going to do very light whole body routine as a form of cardiovascular training. And I took 200 micrograms of IGF-1 IGF-1 long R3, went to the gym. My opening movement was farmer's walks with 120s followed by dumbbell curls with 55s, and I was supersetting those. I would walk around the gym, generally dropping the dumbbells a couple times to make it all the way back around the gym to the dumbbell rack, dropped them, fatigued as hell, and then I would bust out 10 reps of unilateral dumbbell curls, drop the dumbbells, grab the 120s and farmer walk again. I did 3 sets of those. I started to get lightheaded, and it wasn't the normal lightheadedness that you get when you're starting to get winded. I didn't pay attention to it. I went over to the power squat machine, and I started doing breathing squats with 5 plates on each side. I was only able to do 15 reps of breathing squats, but I did 3 sets of those. Noticed the same sensation. By the time I got finished with my workout and left the gym, I started to notice that things were getting faded looking. I was whiting out a little bit, and that's when it dawned on me. I'm becoming severely hypoglycemic. I ran to the grocery store, and I got a couple of those high carbohydrate protein bars and just downed them really fast, and it went away. So
yeah, people really need to be aware of that with the IGF.
Yes.
And also with HGH as well. You know, it can cause you to drop to that point where you're actually going into hypoglycemia, which is not a good place to be, especially if you're trying to do a workout.
No, I remember walking that morning that I walked into the grocery store to get my protein bars. I felt like I was about to pass out. I thought something is wrong, and then it dawned on me. There's no glucose in my blood. The IGF-1 is shuttling it out, and plus the workout didn't help it either. So, I am a big proponent now of a modicum of carbohydrates in the form of raw unpasteurized milk, basically 24 grams of lactose in the raw unpasteurized milk, combined with 60 grams of whey protein, plus the 16 grams of protein that are in the milk already, and the whole fat that's in the milk. My BCAAs and my creatine, when I have that pre-workout, it is still in my stomach when I'm training, leaching into my bloodstream. I do not experience the hypoglycemia. And then I have another one of those about 30 minutes out after I'm done training. I let my body relax, and then I have that same exact drink again. And those are the two that's my pre and post workout nutrition. Then the rest of the day, I eat.
What about during the workout? Do you drink anything specifically during the workout?
No, water, distilled water. That's all I drink. Mm-hmm. That's all I drink. And I train with a great deal of power and movement. I don't rest long between sets of anything. And quite often, my first two movements are generally my power movements, my heaviest movements, where I'll do 3 to 4 sets, and where my last set is maybe 5 or 6 reps. Then after that, I lower the weight on the rest of the movements, and I shoot for 10, 12, and 15 reps to continue to pump blood into those body parts. So I feel that I don't want to have any carbohydrates during my workout, because I do want to continue to try to burn some sort of amount of fat. And that's my logic behind that. I don't know that it's flawed or not. It could be flawed.
Okay, so you've done your morning prep, and you're all ready to go. You head off to the gym, I guess, is next step. And what do you do when you get to the gym? What's the first thing you do as you open the door?
I'm not stretching. I'm not even doing cardio right now, because I will add that. I'm not ready to add that. Like I said at the beginning, the onset of this discussion, I'm a huge proponent of the lowest effective dose. So I'm not adding cardio yet until I feel that I need it. I'm not adding stretching yet, because I'm still not using the heaviest weights I can use. I will add those things in later.
So how do you go about warming up for your sets? You do just some warm-up sets?
Yes, I do warm-up sets. So in other words, if I'm opening with hammer strength high rows, I'll just put 145 on each side, and I will rep complete. I will, like this morning, I did 40. You know, reps. They were, you know, so light. I could have done more, but the idea was just to get the joints lubricated, get the blood into the muscles, and get the form down. And then I add 45s each set. They're topping out at 4 plates on each side. My last set of 6. So that's it.
Generally, do you go no lower than 6 reps, or do you kind of sometimes?
My first working set, which is 2 plates, I'll generally do, let's say, maybe 18 reps. Then I'll add another plate, so I'm at 3 plates, and I'll generally do 12 to 15 reps. And then I'll add the 4th plate, and by then I'm pretty fatigued, and I'll generally try to get somewhere above 6, 7, 8 reps, but with good form.
So more of a pyramid type model of sets.
Yes, that's what I'm doing right now. That's what I'm doing right now. That'll change. I also am a huge proponent of prioritization. My chest and shoulders need help. So I open the week up with chest and shoulders right now, and I'll do that probably for the next month.
Yep. And what days are you training chest and shoulders on? Monday?
Monday.
And then Tuesday, what are you doing next?
Monday I'm training chest and shoulders. Tuesday I'm training back. Wednesday I'm training legs. And Thursday I'm training arms. And I'm going to take off Friday and Saturday, and probably even Sunday, take 3 days off, and then come back again on Monday. So it's going to be a 4-day-on, 3-day-off routine for me right now. I need extra recovery time right now because this is all new to me again.
It's good. 3 days recovery. That's pretty good recovery. And you should be coming in strong for that workout Monday, where you want to really emphasize your chest and bicep.
That's exactly what I'm looking for. I'm looking to be stronger, but I'm also looking to be heavier. I can tell you that I have put on 10 pounds in the past 5.5 weeks. I should also add that I just recently, just in the past week, started using just one capsule of Super DMZ from Iron Mag Labs. One capsule, that's all.
So Super DMZ, do you think you found a difference with that?
I can see a difference in me already. I am absolutely... I see that my neck, my traps, my shoulders, my chest are thicker. Let's put it this way. I feel that I am responding better to the workouts, responding better. I feel like I'm getting more size from each workout.
That's great. That's impressive. Okay, so what do you do for your back workout then when you come in and do back training?
Well, I'm still not deadlifting, because I still have an injury that I have to nurse. I did do stiff leg deadlifts on one of my whole body days, and I went up to 330 with my stiff leg deadlifts, and I did six reps, perfect form, not coming all the way up, but going all the way down. I use 25-pound plates when I do stiff leg, so I don't have to use a chair or a bench to get that full stretch at the bottom. But I'm still not deadlifting. So right now, all of my back work consists of rowing movements. And really, that's where I need the work anyway. I need a thicker – I have a deficit up in between the shoulder blades to the neck. The bottom portion of my traps are not thick enough. My spinal erectors come up, and then all of a sudden there's a sulcus. And so I'm trying to fill that in. So I'm doing a lot more rowing movements with very, very dedicated form. I imagine that I'm trying to pinch – a pencil with my shoulder blades, and I'm engaging the lower portion of my traps with every single movement, and I can feel it. They get pumped up and sore, as they are this morning after my workout.
So do you do chin-ups and anything like that as well?
Not yet. I'm still doing pull-downs. I'm not ready to do chin-ups. Pull-downs with a underhand grip, I'm fine with. But pull-downs with an overhand grip still aggravates the front head of my shoulder, but it's getting better, getting much better.
Okay, you're still having a problem with that anterior deltoid, are you?
Yes, but it's getting better. I am doing on chest and shoulder day, I am now doing shoulder presses with 60-pound dumbbells. The big problem for me is getting the dumbbells into place. I literally have to swing them up, straight arm. I cannot bring them to my shoulders and press them up because my left shoulder gets into a groove and I can't get it out of it. It's like it's locked.
Is it neurological too?
I don't think it's neurological.
Do you find one side weaker than the other?
No, not at all. But when the pain comes in, the shoulder just gives up.
Oh, pain's there.
Yeah, okay. It's pain. I get into my left shoulder. If I try to bring the dumbbells to my shoulders and press them up, I'm fine with my right shoulder, but my left shoulder comes out of the socket, and I cannot get it out of that groove without someone. Like when I trained with Carlos Cardenas, he was able to help me by coming underneath my elbows and just getting the dumbbells off of my shoulders. Once they do that, I press them up once, and my shoulder falls into place, and then I can press them.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've found works equally well for me, but limits the amount of weight I can use, is I stand and I swing the dumbbells a few times, and then I cast them out and up in an arc fashion until my hands are overhead, and then I can, once I start at the top and come down, I'm fine. Starting at the bottom and going up, that's where it's troublesome for me.
Okay, so you avoid going probably too heavy and too hard out on the shoulders at the moment then.
Yes.
So what's your back workout actually look like? You said you come in and do your set of rows and stuff to start.
Okay,
with,
so this morning I opened up with four sets of high hammer rows. I immediately went over to four sets of the low hammer row. And I don't do these unilaterally. I do these bilaterally, always locking my lower back out, making sure there's a good arch in my back with each of the movements. From there, I went and did four sets of the... You know the machine that you, it has a chest pad and you kind of lay on it and it looks like bicycle handle grips and you can load plates on it. And it's
like
a
T-bar row.
What's that?
T-bar row.
Yeah, but it's the one that you actually lay in.
Supported. Yeah, the
supported T-bar row. I did four sets of those. From there, I went and did rear delts combined with Dickerson's, supersetted rear delt work on the pec deck machine. Immediately going over and did four sets of each of those back to back. From there, I went and did bent over rows, but I do bent over rows without a bench. I literally bend over and brace my right arm against my right knee, the inside of my right knee, and row with my left arm, and then switch. And I did 120s this morning. I did four sets of eight with that. And then I went and did underhand pull downs with 170 and just repped out as many as I could for three sets, and then I was done. I mean, that took me 45 minutes of nonstop work.
So how long are you usually resting between sets? You know, like on the heavy ones, I guess you could wait a little bit longer, but on average?
I don't rest a minute, I'll tell you that. I know that I'm not resting a minute. I probably rest 45 seconds or so. My attitude is this. I'm not trying to go for a one-rep max. So if I'm coming into the next set a little weaker and I gas out a little sooner, that's okay with me.
Mm-hmm. Because you're trying to get that conditioning from it anyway,
yes.
So it's kind of the whole point.
Exactly. I'm trying to get my body back to that conditioning point where it recovers faster anyway.
So next day, I guess, is legs. Are you going to the gym tomorrow for legs?
Yes.
So what are you going to do there?
Okay, for legs, the gym that I train at has a Power Squat 2000. Do you know what that is? The Power Squat machine. It's a plate-loaded machine. It has yokes that fit over your shoulders. It has a platform that you stand on, and it really emulates a squat movement. It's a cantilever that you're under, and you basically squat down and squat up with it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, they're kind of a little bit more variable than a standard Smith machine because it slides back and forwards. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes, it slides and it cantilevers, and it moves kind of naturally with you as you're squatting. And I like this machine specifically because I'm working on an injury. The thing I like about this machine is you can lean back against the pads on the shoulder yoke. And by leaning back, you can start the movement with your buttocks moving first. And you can really focus this movement on your glutes and your hamstrings when you lean back in the machine. You can't lean back like that with a free bar. You'll fall. But you can lean back with this machine. And so I'll open up with four sets of those, topping out with eight plates on each side. And then I will move to leg presses, which I'll do four sets, topping out with 14 plates on each side. And then I will go to leg extensions, supersetted with leg curls.
Are these all the kind of same kind of pyramid sets as well?
Yes,
that you're talking about before?
Okay. Yes, exactly. My last set on power squats, I'll do between 6 and 8 reps. And I will struggle. I will be grunting and struggling. My last set on leg presses, I'll do probably 8 to 10 reps. Leg presses are a little easier because, you know, you're not really pressing that much weight in a 45-degree leg press machine. And the leg press machine seems to be a little easy for me. I'm putting my legs up high. My feet are positioned very high on the leg press machine because I'm trying to engage my glutes and my hamstrings for the recuperative effect on my injury. I get a good stretch when the platform comes all the way down and my legs touch my chest.
So you're kind of using that as part of your rehab program as well to kind of open that up.
Yeah, I try to keep my hamstrings and my glutes involved in these movements along with my quads so that I can rehabilitate my left leg. Then I'll do leg extensions and leg curls, and then I'll do walking lunges, which Elisa has taught me to do, and they're very, very difficult for me. I don't have the coordination to make them look graceful.
You start doing them backwards?
Really? Backwards?
Yeah. Once you master forward, now you got to do backwards after that, okay?
Really?
Yeah, really.
You can do them backwards?
Yeah.
Oh,
in all directions.
Okay.
You got to make it challenging all the time. So, you know, eventually it's going to get pretty easy walking forwards. You're not that much of a motor moron. So once you get forward, start doing some backwards as well. You know, walk forward and walk backwards at the same time in the same set.
So instead of turning around, you go forward and backwards instead of turning around at the end and coming back.
Yeah.
Very cool. I'll have to try. I have to master
not
going
yet, though,
forward.
By the end of it.
I have to master going forward first. By the way, by the end of my workout, my legs, my quads are so fatigued. It's so difficult to do walking lunges. I literally have to take 2 or 3 steps and then stop for a second, take 2 or 3 steps and stop for a second.
Well, after all the rest of the workout, too. I mean, putting lunges in the end, that's going to just kill you.
Yeah, but I do them now. I do them. I know I never liked them, but I do them anyway because I know they're important. But that's pretty much my leg day.
And we got time for a break now?
Yeah, we really should. Thank you. We need to take a break real quick, okay? When we come back, we can talk about arm day if you want.
Yeah, and, sounds good.
We'll take this anywhere you want to take it. Okay, so you're listening to Superhuman Radio. I am being interviewed by Dr. Peter Rouse. Let's see what the heck I know. We'll be right back.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart-healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MAHLER.com. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MAHLER.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Super Human Radio, where I am the subject of discussion today, and Dr. Peter Rouse is interviewing me.
Actually, before we get into the arm training, Carl, Nick actually had a good question on here, which we haven't got into yet, which is the abdominal or core training exercises. What are you doing for your abdominals at the moment?
I do them at home, and I use a wheel. I do extensions. I don't believe in crunches. I believe that crunches give you a malformed stomach where your upper abdomen is actually protruding more and your lower abdomen looks like a separate part of it. So I do extensions with a wheel. You know what I'm talking about? Where you
ab wheel.
Yes. I'm a firm believer. When you think about the kinesiology of the abdominal muscles and the purpose of the abdominal muscles, they are to keep the spine from hyperextending. So if you really want to strengthen the abdominal muscles in the plane and in the way that they were designed to function, which is as almost a laminar of muscle, a wall of muscle, you have to challenge them by trying to place them in a position where the spine wants to hyperextend, and that's not a crunch.
So is that kind of the only abdominal exercise you're doing at the moment?
That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay.
I mean, between you and me, I mean, let's face it, heavy squats work the abdominals. When you take in a deep breath at the top and you come down, your abdominal walls are like, I'm sure that if someone were to hit me in the stomach, I wouldn't even feel it at that moment.
What you do know is breathing squats, you actually get sore abs the next day anyway from the breathing squats.
Oh, my serratus, the first time I ever did breathing squats, my serratus muscles and my, and actually the first couple ribs, I had pain in them. It was painful because I was expanding my rib cage so much more than I normally do.
Yeah, it was, they can be a little bit more taxing than people realize, plus all the other exercises you have to do. You know, you're doing freestanding bent over dumbbell rows too. You know, you're having to stabilize your body, holding your body over that bent over bottom position of a deadlift position while you're rowing 120 pounds. So that there's got a, that's anti-rotary right there. You know, you're working your oblique function there with anti-rotary function.
And that's where I feel that. I feel that in my glute and my lower back as well as my upper back when I do those. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very good. You want to talk about arms next, because then we also have David Wilson is on hold. He has a question that we'll let him ask in a little bit, but we could talk about arm training if you want to go there next.
Well, why don't we go to David instead of keeping him waiting online?
Okay, that sounds good. David Wilson, are you there?
I am sure here.
Okay, so you had a question for me about whole body routines. Go ahead and say it.
Yes, my majority of my strength training right now is straight up strength. I mean, I've started all this, as you guys know, really overweight and weak. And the weight is, you know, coming on very slowly, but I am losing fat, I am gaining muscle. But my strength training is really pretty much straight strength training. I'm doing big movements, I'm squatting, I'm deadlifting, I'm overhead pressing, I'm bench pressing, I'm rowing. And I'm doing, a lot of times I'm doing these in like PR zones where I will work, try to hit 10 doubles on the bench press in 15 minutes. And once I can get all 10 doubles, I'll increase the weight by 2.5 pounds or 5 pounds. I want to be adding in, and I'm doing each one of those movements about once a week, and I'm wanting to add in some more hypertrophy-based accessory work, but I don't know how to get it programmed into the week because I am, you know, still dieting, and it seems like it's very, very easy to overtrain and not be fresh. A couple times I've tried to overhead press, and my overhead press is really improving lately, but it's hard to program like triceps work and still be fresh when it's time to really bring that strength to bear to get stronger.
Well, for me personally, when I do whole body work, my objectives are different. First of all, when I first started doing a whole body routine, I only did one movement per body part. One. That was it. But I did it every day. Okay?
Okay.
That will stimulate hypertrophy. If you look at the Bulgarians, okay, they got strong and big by doing their major lifts 8, 10, 12 times a day. But they didn't go into the gym and pound themselves into the ground. They went in, they did a warm-up set or two, they did their heaviest movement, they dropped the weight, they left the gym. They came back an hour or two later, they did it again. So if you try to look at this concept that you can either pulverize your muscles where you need days of rest, or you can stimulate them where hours of rest are adequate and get more work done in a given day than if you pulverize them. So when I do a whole body routine, when I first started this comeback, if you want to call this my comeback, I hit every body part with one movement. By the second week, after the second week, I started doing two movements per body part because I could feel my energy levels coming up. But again, I always left something in the tank because I knew I had to come back tomorrow and do it again.
Right.
And that's where the prioritizing the body part comes in. The first week I would prioritize, I'd come in and do back first. The second week I'd come in and do legs first. The third week I came in and did chest first because I wanted the body part that was being ignored by the end of the workout to be the priority the next week. You follow
me? Interesting. Yes, absolutely.
But if you hit that body part, go ahead, Peter, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was just going to suggest some other options. But, David, are you able to train twice a day?
I could if they were brief. Scheduling is a real pain for me, but
yeah,
I could make
brief
that happen.
Ones. Well, what you could do in the afternoon is train the same body parts you train in the morning, but more for hypertrophy-type repetition ranges and you know, technique. So in the morning you do your heavy stuff, and then in the afternoon or evening you do your hypertrophy training in the afternoon on
so
the same body
parts. So, for example, if I do barbell overhead pressing for, like, 10 doubles in the morning. At night, I could come home and do kettlebell pressing for higher reps. That's awesome. That's a great idea.
So you kind of split up, you know, between the day. So you can also shorten your workout in the morning a little bit that way as well.
Absolutely.
Carl?
Yeah, I'm going to try that. That sounds really, really cool.
I actually do that. My lagging body part are my biceps. My biceps are very strong, but they just don't respond the way I'd like them to. So that is why I will do bicep work a couple times throughout the day, but not a lot. I'll do light. I'll take maybe 35 or 40 pound. I'll switch my power blocks to 35 or 40 pounds, and I'll bust out two or three sets of maybe 20, 25 reps, doing unilateral left, right, left, right, left, right, and I'll just get an insane pump in my arm, and then I'll go eat a meal. And this has been working for me. My biceps are finally starting to respond. So this is kind of like what Peter's talking about, except I do it just on lagging body parts. I look at the body parts that I feel like need some work, some touch up, and I'll hit them two or three times in a day.
Well, and I'm starting to hit my arms more than I have in a long time because I really believe that my arms are holding my compound lifts back. I'm having harder times locking out the bench press, even locking out pulling movements, where it's hard to get the bar all the way to my chest on like pull down movements.
Do you ever go into the gym and just say, the heck with what I'm supposed to do today, I'm going to train something totally different and I'm going to train it lighter?
No.
I'm making the best progress I've ever made right now because this is what I said at the beginning of the show, that I'm finally training instinctively. I had done a whole body routine on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday I just didn't feel like doing the whole body routine. Now, the old me would have gone in and pushed through it, but the new me said, you know what, I'm going to do something totally different. And that is the day that I went in and did farmer's walks combined with dumbbell curls, and then I did breathing squats, and then I just hit my shoulders and my back and my chest real light, and then I got out of there, and I was out of there in like 45 minutes, and I felt like King Kong that day, and I thought, you know, my body needed that more than it needed to be put through that grueling whole body workout again today.
Interesting.
So sometimes I think you got to abandon the plan for a different plan.
What would you say, question there?
Yeah, what would you say about that, Peter?
No, it sounds, that sounds really good. And I think sometimes people kind of stick to the plan too much when their body's telling them something else. So sometimes you need to listen to what your body's saying. And when you come to the gym one day, maybe you need to shift things around because of the way you're feeling. If you've got a high energy day, maybe you could do a little bit more. If you've got a low energy day, maybe you need to look at altering things as well. So, you know, everybody's kind of, also your mental state too can depend day to day. So, you know, some days you're very mentally driven and you can use that energy to really drive you past what you normally could do. So why stick to a program that's going to hold you back when that day you're able to do a lot more?
Arm day for me is basically bicep, tricep work. And I just do a lot of different stuff. I do a lot of curls and a lot of push downs and a lot of kickbacks and a lot of presses. And I also generally do my farmer's walks on arm day to fatigue my brachials before doing my curl work. And that way I work my grip as well. And actually, when you train arms, you end up hitting all your body parts. Because if you're doing curls properly, your back is engaged. If you're doing tricep pushdowns or close grip bench presses, your chest and shoulders are engaged. I kind of look at arm day as not only focusing on arms, but touching up all the body parts before the end of the week and I take off for 3 days.
That's really a good way of looking at it. It makes a lot of sense.
Okay, Cole, we better move on to supplements because a lot of people want to know what you're taking for supplements. So I think that's a kind of a key one that people want to hear about.
Okay, David, you want to stay with us or you want to drop out?
I'm at work. I better drop out, but I really appreciate your time, guys.
All right, thanks a lot, David, for calling in.
Good to see you, David.
You as well. Thanks, Dr. Rouse. Bye-bye, Carl.
Hi. So, and you know what? The phone number here is 502-690-2298. If anybody wants to call in, I know it's kind of late to give out the number, but if you're there, call in. As far as supplements go, I take a lot of supplements. I really do. I walk the walk that I talk. I take PQQ and CoQ10. I take magnesium glycinate. I also use transdermal magnesium before bed at night. I take lots of vitamin B. I take 800 units. I use a vitamin E every day. I get every second to third day. I take very, very large doses of cod liver oil and balance it out with vitamin D so that I'm getting a 10 to 1 ratio, generally about somewhere around 70 or 80,000 units of vitamin A to about 10 to 15,000 units of vitamin D. And
that should be third day, right?
Yeah, I don't take it every day. And I don't take it every day for a couple reasons. I don't think it's necessary to take it every day because it stores itself in the liver, number one. Number two, I think that, number two, cod liver oil kind of, I don't digest cod liver oil very well. I have to take it on an empty stomach. If I take it with food, it slows down everything in my stomach. Have you ever heard of that, Peter?
Yeah, yeah. It okay. can be a little bit gastric disruptive as
yes,
well.
Yes. So I have to take it by itself, and then I have to wait an hour or two before I eat anything. Otherwise, it just kind of sticks to me.
Well, part of the reason we see that is actually a bile deficiency as well, though. So maybe you want to chuck in some ox bile in your...
Well, I don't take my enzymes with that, but I do take enzymes with my meals.
Do they contain any ox bile?
Yes, yes. They're the ones that I got Good. From you, actually. They're
oh, the
they're
oh, yeah, yeah.
pancreatic
the sport digest.
2X or something. It's got a whole bunch of stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I do take enzymes with my meals. I tend to focus on training days on BCAAs, whey protein, and raw unpasteurized milk during the day, having my first whole meal about an hour and a half after my post-workout meal. I try not to have whole food meals in the morning because they make me tired. When I eat, you know, 8, 10, 12 eggs plus, you know, an avocado and so on, I just want to go to sleep after that. I don't want to work out. So I'm learning my body and I'm giving it what it thrives on. And right now it thrives on nutrient dense, easy to digest foods in the daytime, and moving towards whole foods later in the afternoon through the evening.
Yeah. Okay. So whatever supplements you're using. Using anything like alpha lipoic acid or
yes, I take our alpha lipoic acid before meals as a way to help, you know, as the for the insulin mimetic effects, but also obviously it's a great antioxidant. And I'm trying to think. I mean, I take 6 capsules of GLC's new product, which they're just about to release. They sent it out to me a month and a half ago. But it's equivalent of about 3 grams of glucosamine and 1,800 milligrams of chondroitin with a special delivery system that allows it to be absorbed easier.
You had him on the show a little while ago about that, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. He's actually come up with a breakthrough product that increases the absorption of all amino acids. So... it's pretty exciting stuff. I do take lots of glucosamine chondroitin. I do use GHRP6 throughout the day. I generally take a second shot of 500 micrograms around 2 o'clock in the afternoon after the
show.
Well,
then testosterone. You said you backed off on the testosterone
yes.
a lot. How much are you taking?
I'm really taking what I consider a maintenance dose. I'm taking 350 milligrams a week right now, and I'm experimenting mm-hmm. with subcutaneous injections, believe it or not.
For slower release?
Faster release.
Intramuscular would be faster when it would blood flow. So, whereabouts are you injecting it?
Right now, I'm injecting it the lower portion of my glute. I have been injecting it the lower portion of my abdominal area, and it takes approximately 2 weeks completely for the depot to disappear completely.
I was going to say it's a slower release one, right?
Well, I actually think it's faster. I have to be honest with you, and I'll tell you what my logic is about this. I was doing a 3cc injection in my right glute one day of 250 milligram testosterone. I must have angled the needle wrong, and I didn't go completely into the muscle. And I injected, this was right at the time of the Phoenix Pro Show in Phoenix, when I was in Phoenix. And I aspirated, everything was great. I injected, everything was great. But about 2 hours later, I noticed a lump forming
but it was in the fat tissue, in the fat above my hip. And I thought to myself, what the hell is that? And by the next morning, it was inflamed and swollen. I had released the whole 3 cc's sub-Q by accident somehow. But here's the interesting thing when that happened. Immediately after the injection, I thought I hit a vein. When you hit a vein, you know that you get that sensation in your chest, the pounding of your heart. You start sweating a little bit because the benzyl alcohol dissipates into the bloodstream quickly. It's almost the same feeling you get when you inject trenbolone acetate, where you feel like you want to cough, and you start sweating. And I've had this happen numerous times. I know that that's when I've hit a vein. Sometimes I'll go through a vein, and when I'm retracting the syringe, a droplet of the oil will vaporize into the bloodstream as it's pulling through the vein, and I'll get that sensation. Well, the day that I injected sub-Q by accident, I had that same sensation. In fact, P.J. Braun was staying with me, and I said to P.J., he said, what's wrong? I was all pale, and I started sweating. I said, I must have hit a vein. I said, because I can taste it in my mouth, and I can feel it in my chest. He goes, oh, yeah, you just hit a vein. Give it a half hour. I says, yeah, I know. And a half hour went away. Well, then when I realized that I had done a sub-Q, accidental sub-Q injection, it dawned on me. That doesn't happen when you do intramuscular. Why did it happen when I did subcutaneous? And by reading some of, and he's going to be on the show, Dr. Abraham Morgenthaler, who has written several books on testosterone therapy. He's a Harvard-trained physician and professor. He's a huge proponent of subcutaneous testosterone injections. And he also believes that it hits the system faster. So I thought about my experience with it dissipating so quickly into my bloodstream and thought to myself, you know what? It sounds to me like it hits your system faster. So then I was talking to a good friend of mine who's a physician. We were talking about vitamin B12. I said, why do you give vitamin B12 intramuscularly? He says, when you want to give a large dose of vitamin B12 and you want it to linger in the system longer, you do an IM. But if you give it subcutaneous, it's gone in 12 hours. It's in the bloodstream and it's gone in 12 hours. He said, so when you do subcutaneous B12, you have to inject daily. But when you do intramuscular, you can do it up to once a week, depending on how large a dose you use as the depot. When I started adding all these things up, it dawned on me that when you do subcutaneous, there's actually a quicker dissipation of the depot than intramuscular. And then if you look at the research on intramuscular testosterone, 18 days, typically to up to 3 weeks, it's still leaching into the system. Well, just from self-examination, I can tell you in under 2 weeks, the depot is gone when you do subcutaneous.
So are you doing that like more often shots then? You know, smaller shots spread
I'm doing 350 milligrams once a week, which is basically, I have 350 milligram testosterone. So I'm doing 1 cc sub-Q once a week. And
okay.
I feel great. I really, really feel great. So, and I'm experimenting. And obviously this is an experiment. I want to see if there's any difference. There may be even a higher conversion to estradiol, for I know, because of the fatty tissue, you know, that I'm injecting into. So the results is still out. I'm not saying this is the way to go. I'm going to be doing a show about this in the upcoming month with Dr.
We're actually going to run some blood work on you next week, aren't we?
Yeah, that's right. And so we'll see what's going on.
You have a kit to do some blood work.
Yeah, so we'll see what's going on here. But
okay.
Yeah, so I am back to my maintenance dose of testosterone. However, when I was in Phoenix, I was using as much as 2 grams of testosterone a week and a gram of decadurabolin a week, combined with some D-Bol and or Anavar, and just as an experiment to see what it's like to use those high of doses. And I can tell you that I didn't really notice anything remarkable at those doses until I added 200 milligrams of trenbolone enanthate into it. And then everything changed. Everything changed. The trenbolone enanthate made me instantly stronger. I perspired constantly. My resting heart rate went up above 90. My blood pressure skyrocketed. That stuff is the real thing. Trenbolone enanthate is the real thing. If you can tolerate it, it, in my opinion, is the most powerful
anabolic steroid that can be used.
Yeah, definitely the most powerful. And as you say, but when you're looking at, I guess, health being one of your key concerns with you at the moment with your goals, then that's probably not the best thing to be using.
I did it for 2 weeks and got off of it immediately and regretted doing it because it took me 3 months to come back. I lost all cardiovascular conditioning within days. I used to hike certain mountains in Phoenix. I couldn't hike them anymore because my heart would pound and I would be breathing heavy just after a week of trenbolone and anthate. My heart rate skyrocketed, my blood pressure skyrocketed, and it made me nervous. I thought, wait, great, I'm going to end up stroking or hurting myself now. And I immediately ceased it after 2 weeks and gave the two bottles away that I had because I didn't want to even experiment with it any longer.
Yeah, it can be pretty taxing on your system, that's for sure. And especially if you're not really, you know, looking in pro-level training or anything like that or pro-level goals, then I think you're better off just staying with straight chest.
I added 85 pounds to my deadlift in 2 weeks. I went from a 500-pound deadlift to a 585-pound deadlift, and I really felt like I could have gone further than that in 2 weeks. It was insane, and I didn't even feel like training. Most days I felt sick. I didn't feel good. I can tell you that I didn't feel like I had a sense of well-being. It wasn't like I had flu-like symptoms, but I didn't feel good. But
so how much were you taking?
What's that?
How much were you taking?
200 milligrams of trenbolone and anthate every 4 days.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a pretty moderate dosage compared to what a lot of people are using on the market there. So that's pretty good results for that kind of lower dosage.
I know. Powerful stuff. Mm-hmm. Really, really powerful stuff. All right. Anyway, we probably have to take our last commercial break, Peter. You have any more questions that you want to ask me when we come back? Or?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I had a listener's question that we want to cover a little bit if you've got time.
Yes, absolutely. Let's do this. We'll take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll finish up the interview. Stay tuned. I will be right back. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's OPResource.net. At OPResource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to OPResource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. OPResource.net. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones. And Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to aaefx.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
There are a few products that I believe believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio, where I am the subject of discussion. Hopefully, people are learning something. If nothing else, they're learning that I do take all the things that I talk about. That's for sure. No. What question?
Okay, you are there, Carl? I'm actually breaking up here. You can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine, Peter. What questions?
Okay, let's clear up.
What questions do you want me to answer?
Well, one of the listeners was asking about detox and whether you do a detox, and if so, what do you actually do for your detox?
Well, it's an interesting question. I have not really done a detox yet, although I am planning on doing one. And actually, I have a question for you that I was going to email you. The proper way to use DMSA. Mm-hmm. How should I be using DMSA? Because I have that I received from you, and I want to start using that with some regularity to help reduce the toxic load in my body. And I believe that's a good product to use, correct?
Well, it's one of the products we use, yeah, definitely. It's used for mainly for heavy metals, so it's actually really effective for pulling out the heavy metals and stuff. But what you want to be really careful doing is the dosaging on it, how much you're taking. I think it would call, most people can probably tolerate up to 20 milligrams per kilogram of body weight. So, be careful about the dosage. You're not going above that amount.
Right.
So you're roughly about 100 kilograms. So, you can take up to 200 milligrams, per dosage. And you can actually take it multiple times a day, building up the dosage. Really important thing is to build the dosage up slowly each couple of weeks. So what you want to do is do 3 days on, and then you take a week or 10 days off it, because you've got to allow time for your body to clear out.
And that was what I was going to ask you. What protocol do you recommend? Well, okay, so once you've liberated all these heavy metals into your bloodstream, how do you allow the body a better opportunity to flush them out?
Well, one thing you can – actually, something I was going to bring up tomorrow on the show, and I'm going to save the highlights for tomorrow, but glutathione levels want to be optimal on there. Have your glycine. I take a lot of glycine when you're doing that too. That helps a lot with the removal process. First thing is that people got to make sure that their GI system's effectively eliminating these toxins. So I guess that's the most important thing, is that you can actually eliminate them first, and then you start drawing them out using this. There's a whole lot of different products on the market that are quite effective for the process of elimination. You want to support phase one, phase two liver detox, but the thing is that that's individualized to the person, because if someone's under-stimulated in phase one and over-stimulated in phase two, you need to bring up phase one and bring down phase two to bring it into balance, so that it's both in balance. And if you're taking just random things to kind of stimulate either phase one or phase two liver detox, you could be over-stimulating the phase two and under-stimulating the phase one. So you don't know what – you need to know where you are there before you actually start doing stuff with the phase one and phase two liver detox.
For detoxification, as a rule, I take – for liver support, N-acetylcysteine, and I use a lot of whey protein. Whey protein has been shown to increase glutathione production in the liver. So,
yeah, there's actually a new product on the market, which I'll talk about tomorrow, which increases glutathione directly.
Okay. What about injectable glutathione? You think there's any value to that?
Oh, absolutely. We don't use injectable. We use a push, so it's IV. It's done through IV, so we use IV for glutathione. Now with this new supplement, it may be easier, because going in to get an IV done all the time is pretty inconvenient for most people if you think about it. So being able to take a supplement at home, it'd probably be much more convenient for most more people, and you're going to get more compliance as well.
Yeah.
But the IV is definitely more effective. Absolutely. Getting up the, glutathione levels, intracellular and everything is going to be much more effective. But the problem with that is getting the IV done.
Yeah.
Doctors won't even prescribe it anyway.
I was just going to say, finding a doctor to even do it is probably the challenge.
Yeah, I do it myself. Like once every month I'll do a push just to kind of get my glutathione levels up.
And how long do you have to keep the IV in?
I only do a 20-minute short one. So I'm not doing anything specific, for anything specifically. I actually just got my test results back on my toxicity levels, and I was actually very, very surprised because I haven't been really focused on detoxing that much. I mean, I've been doing some light detox stuff and some saunas and stuff we've been using, and my levels are amazingly low, like nothing on everything.
Well, and you know what's interesting?
$1,000 worth of lab tests.
The sauna is something I forgot. I do sauna regularly, and I do believe that the sauna is very important because the sauna increases enzymatic cascades that help to detoxify the body.
What kind of sauna are you using?
Right now, I use a near infrared, the infrared sauna.
Yep, that's good. That's the one you're meant to use.
Yeah, but I do occasionally
if they're ceramic or carbon?
I think it's ceramic. They're ceramic plates that are covered with like a sheet of material.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're ceramic.
Yeah.
I also do like the convection saunas once in a while, the ones with the lava stones in them.
Mm-hmm.
Are they not as effective?
Oh, they're not effective for detox, but they're effective for just making you sweat a little bit, but not effective for detox. They can actually, if you're very toxic and you're trying to pull out toxins, they can actually push toxins further into the system. So you've got to be careful with that when you're detoxing.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So the far infrared is way superior, and as you're saying, the ceramic heaters. And make sure the wood that they use to build it, some of them get them cheap wood from China, which is contaminated. Remember, so you're actually inside a toxic box. So you've got to be careful of the type of wood and where it comes from as well.
Right, right.
So whenever you're doing that, make sure you check out. Make sure that
I don't know. I don't know where this sauna was made. I'll have to look and see.
Just send me the brand name and I'll be able to tell you.
Okay, I'll find out about that.
So what you're basically saying now is that you're not been doing anything specifically for detox, but you're actually about to go on to something.
Yes, I'm not doing anything specifically for detox, but I do want to go on, especially because I'm using a dimethylated prohormone right now, which is super DMZ.
Mm-hmm.
And that does cause some, issues with hepatotoxicity.
Well, what I'll do is I'll send you some of this new glutathione product that we've got coming out. So I'll send you that out to you, and you can try that out as well.
Okay. That sounds good.
Very strong, very effective.
That sounds really good.
Unfortunately, most people are going to find it quite expensive because it retails for over $100 a bottle, which is only like a month's supply. But thinking about it, you're only doing detox for a short period of time generally, so you only need it for a short time, and it's really well worth it for the effectiveness of it. And compared to, a lot of people take the NAC and other precursors, how much you'd have to take of that to get the equal amount of glutathione in your body. It's actually kind of cost-effective.
What about how frequently should people detoxify, you think?
I think once a year you should run through a general protocol for detox. But I think the first time you do it, I think you really should run lab tests to see where you are so you know what you're actually trying to target and get down to the lowest level you can get down to.
Yeah.
For everything. I mean, you've got to eliminate everything. The heavy metal one is severe nowadays too, really severe. I haven't seen anybody that hasn't come back high. I was pretty high in some heavy metals, which I've actually got down to nothing now. All my toxicity levels are trace, which I'm actually quite surprised about because I hadn't gone that hard on it, but I've done it for a long time. I've done 6 months with a continuously just a mild detox, which is more effective. It's the same thing you're talking about, the minimal dose for the maximal result. And I think detox, people try to go too hard too quick. And that can actually kind of be too hard on the system. You're better off taking it slowly and take 6 months to really kind of slowly eliminate these toxins from your body.
Right.
It's taking years to build them up, so don't be in a hurry to get rid of them.
I think we've come to the end of the show. Do you think I missed anything people wanted to know about?
I think that was it. I mean, you did talk about your diet anyway. We've got the supplements in there. I think there's so many supplements that you're using. I think we could do a show maybe just on your supplement use alone. But I think the one they were probably more interested in is the drug protocol and the BCAA, etc., that that you're using. Because, as you say, since you've implemented these changes, you've put on, you know, 10 pounds. So
yeah, no, there's no doubt that what I'm doing right now is working. I'm hugely convinced that taking BCAAs with growth factors, whether it be GHRP6 or growth hormone or IGF-1 or MGF, I'm convinced that there's magic there. That taking these growth factors in the absence of having an onrush of these branch chain amino acids into the bloodstream, you're really missing a huge opportunity. A huge opportunity. So,
are you using the lysine as well in addition to that at the moment?
Leucine. Yeah, I am. I use leucine a lot of times to help when I'm not around my workouts, but later on in the day, if I'm having a protein drink, I'll fortify it with a little extra leucine. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people say that, well, Dr. Connolly said it's not necessary. Well, maybe it's not. But you know what? I'm looking for exponential results. So sometimes you little things make that difference.
So. Okay. Also, just a quick note. You've got my advert on there for the PQQ.
Yes.
The whole store is up and running now properly with all the graphics and everything. So if anybody wants to grab it, they can grab it off the store now rather than going.
Yeah, you don't have to call. You can go to afperformancecenter.com, click the store, and there's a lot of different valuable stuff for Superhuman Radio listeners now, super discounts for them. So visit afperformancecenter.com. Yeah, you don't have to call anymore. You can just go on the website and order your PQQ. And everybody should be taking PQQ and CoQ10. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, I take the same dose as you, which is, the double serving per day.
Yeah, in my opinion, that's a therapeutic dose, too. That's not a maintenance dose. That's a therapeutic dose. So, all right, well, I guess we've covered it then. And hopefully people are satisfied with the show. And we're going to have Peter back on tomorrow, and Brooks Kubik is going to be on tomorrow, too. We've got a great show planned for Wednesday. You're not going to want to miss it. All right, Peter, thanks so much for doing the interview today.
Okay, thanks, Cal, and I'll be talking to you tomorrow.
Very good, very good. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Finally, a Bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.